So how's your Lenten journey going? Are you finding yourself being drawn closer to God? Are you finding that there are things that God is calling you to do that you had not considered? Is God speaking to you through friends or through other means? So what has Lent meant to you up to this point? There certainly have been several things that have gone on in life that has challenged us, and also really causes us to question our own Christian faith. For instance, the events in Parkland, Florida, the ongoing upheaval that's going on in our nation's capital, all the issues that we have to deal with just on a daily basis challenges us. In our Old Testament reading for this day, we hear the story of an old man by the name of Abram, who God comes to after he addresses Noah from well before Abram. He decides that no longer is he going after an entire people, but he's going to go to one family. And God comes to Abram and he says, Abram, and Abram in his old age bows down. And I can't imagine what he's thinking. But he says to Abram, I'm going to make you the father of many. Now, you can only imagine what Abram's thinking at age 99. Paul, it says in Romans that he's as good as dead. Wow. Being almost 100 years old. And he says that he's going to change his name. No longer is it Abram, but Abraham, which simply means the father of many. And Sarah also will have her name changed from an I to an H at the end, and her name means princess. Now, what happens here is pretty much almost what parallels for us when we are baptized. For most of us, when we are baptized as infants. We have no choice. Our parents have brought us to the font. And there the pastor baptizes us in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God claims us as his own. We have no say in it whatsoever, nor did Abram. God just simply says, I choose you, Abraham. You are the one who's going to be the father of many. And this is before there's even the divisiveness of being a Jew or someone from being a Muslim or a Christian, because Abraham is claimed by all these three great faiths. Because you see, it is from Abraham that come the line that brings us to where we are today. But notice that it's Abram does nothing. God says to him, be blameless. And he's not talking about moral uprightness. He's not talking about, making sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed when it comes to our obeying of commandments and those kinds of things, because it's even before the commandments. He's simply telling Abram, I expect you to be loyal to me. And Abram does that. He's kind of an odd choice because Abram is not a perfect individual, and we learn that throughout his history, that there are times that Abraham has fallen by the wayside and has thought that, it's kind of like what Jesus says to Peter, that you're thinking in human terms and not in divine terms. Abram gets a little impatient, and Sarah gets impatient because there's no child yet to pass on the lineage. And so Sarah gives Abraham, her handmate, and they have a child by the name of Ishmael. But that wasn't the one. Abram also has a difficulty because when he is in his journeys, now mind you, did you hear what this thing involved, this covenant, just like it is when we are baptized, we have no choice. But for Abraham, he was told that he needs to leave his homeland. He needs to leave his extended family. He needs to leave his livelihood, and he's going someplace. And if I was Abraham, I'd like to have a triptych set up so I know where I'm going. God just says, just follow what I say to you. And so Abraham is taken into places that are unknown, and he goes into and lands that he's not familiar with, and he encounters people that he has never encountered, and he encounters in this one instance where he meets up with a powerful individual, a king, and he doesn't know what to say when he is asked of his wife, Sarah, so he says, "This is my sister." And the king takes a liking to Sarah and has designs that he'd like to marry her. And somewhere along the line, the king finds out. He gets very angry at Abraham and sends him away with Sarah. But I like these stories because it tells me the humanness of Abraham, of an individual who God calls and who all of us can identify very easily. God has called you. And we are reminded of that each and every time we gather in our Lenten journey. Every time we are reminded of who it is that we are and that we follow this journey that we don't know where it's going to take us. God promises Abraham protection. He says that, you know, those who curse you, I will curse. Those who bless you, I will bless. God promises many things to Abraham, and Abraham, what he asks of him is to be loyal. Now, I want you to think about the first time you ever took off on your own, what that experience was like. You know, for me, it was going off to college many years ago, and remembering that sense of something's about to change, and the anticipation of being away from home for an extended period of time. Up to that point, I had been away from home for 3 months when I was in Wisconsin and Minnesota working with Lutheran Youth Encounter. But this time, it was going to be, you know, a half a year. And that sense of watching my parents drive away and the idea of you know, just meeting my new roommate and all those things that were going to be lying ahead of me. And it was exciting, and it was also a little bit nervous, not knowing what to expect. And the people that I would meet, the people that I would encounter, and the connections that ultimately would be made in time, and the long-standing relationships that would develop in that time period, and the connections with the faculty, and the activities and things that I would be involved in, all kinds of things that would happen in this event that would take me from my home to a new place. What was your first encounter like? I can't imagine Abraham and his feelings when he made that first step going to some place he didn't even know. And as you and I leave from here, there really is this sense of the unknown that lies ahead of there. We have a certain pattern in which we live our life. You know, many of you will go off to breakfast. Others of you will stay for faith formation. Others of you have plans. You'll be getting together with family. Maybe you're planning a trip. I don't know. But you all have things and places where you go, and you don't know exactly what's going to happen. You can assume, but you don't know. And there are times, and it's not just the fact that we are called away from our comfortable setting, but God also throws these things, or things occur to us because of the result of our humanness, because of the frailties and the failings, that there are things that are painful to watch and experience in our life that can cause us great anxiety and stress and things that just make it difficult to wonder how I'm going to balance things out. And I think about Abraham and the fact that he's going off with nothing. There's a movie that's probably been made about six times, and the last time it was made was in 2002, and it was with Heath Ledger, called The Four Feathers. I don't know if you ever heard of the movie. It's basically takes place in, during the colonial periods of Great Britain, during its height of power, and its involvement in the nations in Africa, and there's a war that's going on, and Heath Ledger plays an officer who resigns his commission, and he's given four feathers from his friends, which indicate cowardice. And there's a place where he ultimately decides he wants to be a part of the medical corps, and he works with them, but he becomes lost in the desert. And a tribesman comes along and saves him from death. And at some point, when Ledger is feeling much better, he says to the tribesman, "Why did you do that? Why did you save me?" And the tribesman's response was, "Because God put you in my way." And I think about all the times that God has put people in my way. Sometimes people that I welcome to see, and sometimes there are people that I know it's only going to be trouble. Sometimes when the phone rings and you know it's the voice of one of the kids, you know they're going to be asking for money. But the amazing thing is how God interacts and works and ties us together in that way in which we share and have to be reminded of who we are each and every time we have these encounters. We re-examine our own humanity and our own sense of calling that God has given us, that I am a child that God has taken, someone who's unworthy and has loved and has made me into the person that I am, as frail as I am and as fragile as I can be and as cracked as I am as a clay pot. God still finds ways in which to fill me with his grace and goodness and finds a use for me to encounter those around me. And there are moments in which we are called to summon up the strength and the needs to be able to speak out for all of humanity, to speak out for our brothers and sisters when we know that there are wrongs that are going on. There are times that we have to take the risks, just as Abram took that risk of traveling somewhere that he did not know where he's going. Imagine all those who have gone before us and those who basically risked their lives to even come to this country. For those who before those times and risked their lives because of the faith that was given them. To the days of Luther and bringing about change that resulted in wars because people couldn't come to an agreement of what it was to be a Christian, whether you were a Protestant or a Roman Catholic. To the ancient fathers who challenged those who were Gentiles and others who saw their faith to be something to be threatened and to literally be put to death because of what they believed, and yet they stood firm. Today, each of us hear the call of our baptism. We hear the covenant which God is making to us as he did to Abraham and Sarah. I don't believe I'm quite at that point as being as good as dead. There's still a lot of miles on these tires yet to go. But I believe that God leads me with you. And I believe that God leads us together to welcome people into his fold, to challenge others, to challenge them in their understanding of what it means to be compassionate and to be loving and to be forgiving, to preserve and to care for life, to reach out to those people who are struggling to make sense of who they are. And to be committed to say that all life is worthwhile. For God has made it. God's covenant with us does not end. God's covenant with us is a promise that remains with us until we draw our last breath, and we continue to see how that covenant comes into fruition in life after. God's covenant remains with us in the midst of our struggles and our hurts and all the things that we are challenged with. whether it's struggling with adult youth that don't know which direction to go, or whether it's struggling with unemployment, struggling with just simply trying to make ends meet or to try to make sense out of this crazy world. God is there. So I encourage you to look to Abraham as an example of our own baptism. That when Jesus says to us, put your minds away from human thoughts, but put them on divine things, he's saying not so much to ignore what's going on out there, but he's saying to put on Christ, to see through the eyes of Jesus the very sense and compassion that he had for the world. And when there's moments that are called for judgment, to make those judgments and make them with boldness and with conviction and not to be afraid. But overall, that we love. We love. And that's what the world needs to hear more today than any time before. May this Lenten journey continue to fill us with an understanding of how God desires a relationship with us, how God has poured out his love for us through his son Jesus, how God has led his faithful servants, Abraham and Sarah, to the promised land, and how God continues to lead us to where we need to be today, tomorrow, and the next. It's an agreement, it's a promise, it's a covenant that you can count on. Amen.